Tucson School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole meeting and regular public Board of Education meeting for May 12, 2020. A 48-hour notice, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by the publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance. Roll call, Sandy.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns? Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Fiore? Mr. Hobbiter? Mr. Angolia?
Here.
Mr. Lenhart?
Here.
Mr. Loffredo?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
We have quorum.
So did Terry respond? He may be on mute.
No, I didn't get Mr. Hobbiter.
Terry, are you on mute? Maybe not. I thought I saw him on earlier.
Okay, I'll keep my watch.
Okay. So our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment for continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich traditions for partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes it may appear to members of the audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little time.
Is now exiting.
And in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, is then placed on the agenda at the next combined Committee of the Whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the Committee of the Whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during a regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for approval. Before I ask for acceptance of the minutes, two things. One, if you're not talking, if you could just mute yourself. And two, if you make a motion, if you could just say your name so we know who made the motion. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of April 28, 2020. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as a reason for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved, Todd.
Second?
Second, Thelma.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
I must abstain.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
This is Harry.
And I was on mute when we did the roll call. So that's Mark and Larry.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Ferrari. Okay, I'll mark you up in attendance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is Martin Burns. I'm present as well. Yes.
Okay, you're both present. Thank you.
Yeah, Terry's here as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Full house.
Full house.
So move on to presentations. There are none this month. So we'll move on to the principal's report, and we'll start with Mrs. Graziano.
If I may, before the principal's report, Gene?
You may.
Okay, thank you. I asked the principals tonight to report to the board because I think that there are several things that are major considerations that we have to focus on. And the first thing is the continuity of education. And last meeting, we had a presentation focused on exactly what we were doing in our virtual learning platform and what virtual learning was all about. Second, the discussions that we have had recently in our roadmap to the opening of school that we'll talk about during the committee of a whole, as regarding how we are closing schools. And third, we have a rite of passage that I think everybody's been talking about. And it's definitely my favorite time of the year when we get to see our students graduate in a physical presence, not just virtually. So I also asked the principals tonight to focus on our virtual graduation. And then, again, if the board would allow this, to also for us to work towards a physical graduation on June 25th. As we look at what can happen with the mitigated social distancing standards being waived, June 3rd, Governor Murphy's order, which I sent to everyone, 107 and 119 are lifted, he's going to have to make another one. And we can, well, I'll let the principals talk about it. We can have both a virtual graduation on the 12th and plan for 2 weeks to have a physical graduation, if we're all in agreement with that, as long as the governor lifts his restrictions, and we'll know on June 3rd about that. So with that, I wanted to sort of set the stage for the discussion we're going to have with our principals. And first, Colleen, if you can give your principal's report tonight.
Good evening, everyone. First, I hope all of you and your families are doing well, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. As Dr. Cajun mentioned, I just wanted to start briefly just to share with you some information about progress, how remote learning is going at the elementary school. And I have to start by thanking our teachers. It has been amazing to see the work that they are doing. We did not have a manual for this, and they have worked so hard. They've had to learn a lot themselves, and they have been it's been incredible to see how innovative they have been, the motivating material that they prepared for their students, how creative they've been. So I have to thank them greatly for their work. I have to thank our parents, because we know as adults, we know what this whole unprecedented situation has done to all of us and our families. And we're asking our parents now to be teachers and to be homeschooling their children. And we thank them for their support. And we have been trying to work closely with them and every week hear as much feedback as we possibly could to see how we could adjust our instructional program to help them manage better at home. And I also want to take a minute to thank our students. I think we made it our priority. We know how much has it affected all of us as adults, but we've made it our priority to remember just how much this has affected our children. It's turned their worlds upside down. They love coming to school, seeing their friends, seeing their teachers, being with their sports teams, all their outside activities. And we've tried to focus on remembering that. And it's been just unbelievable seeing that the work that they are producing for their teachers, how they're participating in their classes, and I have to say how proud I am of all of them. With that being said, just to share a little bit about our instructional program. Since our first week, the teachers have looked closely at the curriculum to try to determine the most important skills that had to be covered before the end of the school year so that our children were prepared for the next school year. And they have worked hard to build a combination of that good balance for the students of live lessons plus pre-recorded lessons, which the students engage in different activities and assignments that they work on independently. And I think they've done a wonderful balance of that. And in addition to the lessons, they have worked very hard to continue to be as normal as possible with their ongoing assessments of their students to monitor their progress from quizzes to tests that obviously had to be modified for online instruction to online resources like IXL Learning that they're using. In K to 5, our self-contained classrooms, our teachers teach a language arts and a math lesson daily. And then to streamline our instruction, once again, to help our parents manage better, Our teachers present one science and one social studies lesson for the students. It's presented at the beginning of the week with an accompanying activity that they have all week to do, and it is due by the end of the week. In grades 6 through 8, our students are following their actual daily schedule, and they're signing into each period each day. And they are following all of their classes as if they would normally have been in school. And the same, the teachers are doing a combination of live lessons, pre-recorded lessons, and independent lessons. From the beginning, when we started to monitor how our students were doing, how our parents were managing with online instruction, distance learning at home, we made the adjustment of Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to have our students be involved in more direct instruction. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, they do more independent work, in which the teachers are available to assist them throughout the day, do small group instruction, individual lessons with the students to help them. With regards to our special subject areas, once again, 6 through 8, they are participating in whatever special subject area class they have this particular marking period. But in K-5, the teachers have been working very hard. They worked cooperatively with the classroom teachers. And we streamline that instruction also to include one lesson a week that's presented at the beginning of the week, and it is due by the end of the week. And some of our teachers now, to help our parents even more as we're progressing now and continuing distance learning through June 12th, they are doing cross-curricular activities. For example, Ms. Trumpur and Mrs. Gordon are working on an activity, that one project activity that, instead of two, that combines an art and a music portion for the students. I have to also say how thankful and appreciative I am of our special education teachers. They are doing an absolutely amazing job. They are in classrooms, in live sessions with the students, co-teaching with the classroom teachers, and providing support for their students, for all of the students. And they are also participating in small group instruction and individual sessions with students for even more support. We have additional small group instruction going on. All of our basic skills teachers in language arts and math are doing small groups and individual sessions with students. Our ESL teacher to work with our families, our Hispanic children from our Hispanic families. Our reading specialist has been working in small groups. With guided reading groups and individually working with students to monitor the reading level, doing running records. And I also have to thank Mrs. Santucci and our high school peers. They have been also participating in groups with their buddies, and they have been doing some private tutoring, some individual tutoring, particularly in mathematics with some of our middle school students. So I have to thank them for doing an incredible job. And I'd also like to mention our counselors, Mr. Sinelli and Mrs. Sanders, who have been working tirelessly with all of our students and with many of our families who are struggling to provide support, to give them suggestions, modifications, strategies to you to help use to help manage the online learning at home with their students, the homeschooling. So I thank them for that. I also wanted to mention that we are trying to change things up for our students as much as possible to keep them engaged and keep them focused. We have designed a virtual field trip for every grade level for our students that we hope is a fun activity for them. We have built in some makeup days that the students have an opportunity to just catch up if they may be behind with some of their assignments, or if they're not behind, to get a head start with some of their lessons that are upcoming. And I want to thank our student council. We've had a regular opportunity to meet with our officers because we felt it is extremely important to hear from the kids and to hear how they're doing and how their classmates are doing and to hear their suggestions and their concerns. And they've provided us with some wonderful feedback that we've been able to incorporate into our instructional program. And they've also designed some wonderful activities for school spirit. They've done virtual scavenger hunts. They've done a virtual school spirit week, and they have some other things planned now before the end of our school year together. Last week was Teacher Appreciation Week, and I have to give another shout out to our students for doing an amazing job. They recognized their teachers. They flooded them daily with emails, words of appreciation, special memories that they might have had for the year, from the year, sending them pictures of them doing activities, or just pictures of them doing fun things and being with their pets. sharing special family recipes. They did some really creative things to recognize their teachers, and I thank them and their families for that. And the PTO has been amazing to work with, the officers. They've done an incredible job with supporting the teachers, supporting administration through this whole process. And with Teacher Appreciation Week last week, the classroom parents in K-5 designed videos that they sent to each of the teachers, in which they had clips of all of the children saying special messages to their teachers. So I wanted to say on behalf of the teachers how much they greatly appreciated that, how much it meant to them. Mr. Place, if you could just flip to the next slide. I just wanted to share some pictures with you. Just gives you a little glimpse, if you don't have a student at home, homeschooling, it gives you an idea of what virtual learning looks like right now. A combination, once again, of whole group instruction, which the teachers are doing live instruction, and all of the children can see their teachers and see their classmates and be completely engaged in the lesson. We have other lessons, like at the bottom, that you see the teacher is doing in direct instruction, and the child is able to participate in the activity and join in, whether it's a project or activity or a game. And other students, you can see that they're still doing traditional assignments, sitting with their work at their pencil and paperwork and using their books, which we obviously don't want to give that up. And students producing beautiful artwork and other projects that they present either through photos or doing little video clips of themselves, presenting their material and submitting that to their teachers. It has just been incredible to see that the work that they're doing, and I am extremely impressed. And the last slide that I have with you is following up with what Dr. Cajun was speaking about a few minutes ago, is that yes, we are all so hopeful that we will have an opportunity to be able to do some type of live ceremony for our students outside and recognize their accomplishments. Because we're just as heartbroken as they are. We're just as heartbroken for the parents. We know how important this end of the year is, all the celebrations and the recognition for our students, and we're going to make it as special as we possibly can. And if that is not possible, as Dr. Cajun mentioned, we have started to work on virtual recognition programs at the elementary school. We are designing a special video for our students who are going to be inducted into the National Junior Honor Society. And we are designing a virtual award ceremony. We usually have an academic and an athletic award ceremony, but we are going to combine that to one award ceremony because for academic awards, there are several awards that we give that we just, under the circumstances, we were not comfortable giving this year. We did not think that it was fair. And we also have several academic challenges that the students never got to participate in. So with regards to academic awards, we are going to be recognizing our students honor roll, both first honors and second honors. And athletic awards, again, without a spring season, we do have other awards that we do want to participate in and share with our students in order to recognize that. And as for our eighth grade graduation ceremony, I don't want to say too much because we obviously want it to be a surprise for our students, but we have been brainstorming, speaking with administrators in other districts to see some of their ideas, looking at schools across the state and what they're doing, and just brainstorming for the best way that we can possibly recognize our students to make it a very special celebration for them, because they deserve that, and they deserve that recognition, and we want it to be a celebration of all their hard work, again, because they deserve that, and I promise that we will give that to them. And again, as Dr. Cajun said, we hope we can do something outside, a live type of ceremony, but the virtual programs that we are working on, we are going to put our whole heart into them to make them the best that we possibly can for our students. So I thank you again for letting me share with you tonight about how things are going at the elementary school. And again, I have to thank our teachers, our parents, and our students.
Well, Colleen, before you go, regarding the end of the year celebrations, I think there are three components that we talked about. And the first one was the virtual, which will happen on June 11th, I believe, the day before the high school's virtual graduation. Is that what you're planning?
I think, like we usually do, it's usually the day before the high school graduation, so I think June 11th would be perfect, if that's okay with the board.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we're planning as well is giving the students an opportunity, because you will have portraits of the children, their pictures. Will they be out on the in front of the school as they are at the high school? And giving the students an opportunity to come in their caps and gowns and take pictures in front of the school individually. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Jesse's telling me to speak up. So, all right. I will, what do you call that when you project your voice? I will project my voice. And I will enunciate properly. So with that, those components will stay. And then on the 25th, which is the date we're discussing to have our physical graduation ceremony, you would do that in the morning or in the afternoon, and then the high school would do it at night. Correct? That's our plan. But I want the board to understand that we have to do things in coordination with all the different mandates that we're receiving. And we will do it adhering to the different executive orders that have come out. And if things are lifted, our intention is to have a ceremony celebrating our graduates with them here without having practice. They'll come maybe an hour before the ceremony. We'll talk to them. We'll tell them exactly what they're going to do. It'll be on the football field because it's our biggest space, so we have social distancing. And we will follow any mandate that we have to. So we're good with that, Colleen? Everything I just spoke about?
Okay. Absolutely, and if I could jump back in again, mm-hmm. as you mentioned about, and I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that about the caps and gowns, because we know that's so important to our students and our families, and we're working with a rental company, and we'd like to come up with a schedule where parents would be able to pick them up, have them for a few days to be able to take pictures in front of their home or wherever they would like to in their caps and gowns.
And
so we will be working on a schedule for that.
Now, we have a stay-at-home order as we speak, but according to Executive Order 107, signed by Governor Murphy on March 21st, it allows people to leave their houses for health reasons or educational reasons. So a parent would be able to come and pick up their cap and gown under his order because it's an educational reason. Same thing with the child having a picture taken in front of the elementary school, because in his executive order, that is being allowed. They can't be no more than 10 people in a congregation congregating socially. So we are fulfilling both of his mandates with the plan we have up until the 12th. So I just wanted to make that clear. And the other thing that we have to focus on is how we're closing the elementary school as we speak. And I know this week you're having teachers come in. Five at a time? How many are coming in at a time to close their classrooms out?
We worked on a schedule. The teachers we're actually starting on Thursday, and we'll be going through next Thursday that the teachers are coming in under 10 to be in the building, and they'll be going in to organize their classroom to clean out for the end of the school year. And we are working on getting all of our students, because they have personal belongings in the lockers, both gym lockers and hall lockers, 5 through 8, and in the classrooms, preschool through 5th grade, the students still have items in their desks, in their cubbies, and so we're going to be collecting all of that, labeling it, and that will be another part of the process in which parents will have an opportunity to collect their personal belongings from their children, their children's personal belongings, and also later dropping off textbooks, their tablets, dropping off any other materials that they need to drop off to the school, and pick up things like a trophy, for example, or a certificate from our award ceremonies that will be virtual. So we have a lot of scheduling to do, and all that information will be going out to parents very soon.
Okay. But I want to do things one step at a time. And right now our focus, and my administration knows this, is how are we closing and our celebrations. And for the closing, right now, we're worried about teachers getting their personal items out of the school, also identifying personal items in the classrooms, because the teachers are the ones who knows the seating chart in their classrooms, so they know where the different children are sitting. our custodians are cleaning out lockers and bagging and tagging things so we know exactly what child is in one locker so they can pick these things up when parents come in. So maybe things change every day and we have to be flexible. When the caps and gowns come in and the parents come in to pick up the cap and gown, you can hand them personal items during that juncture, not only to our eighth grade, but to our other parents as well. So we are planning these things, and I just wanted the board to know that. Good, Colleen?
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mr. Goodall?
Thank you, Dr. Cajun, and thank you to members of the board for having me here tonight. It's great to see you all. I want to start out with a thank you to you, the members of the board, the administration, and our entire school community, to the students, parents, and administration, and especially our teachers for their efforts during this unfortunate situation. I'm real proud on how we handled this as a staff from a compliance of safety, educationally, and from a support network for everyone in the community because they rely on the schools to give you that support. A special thanks to Mr. Place and the rest of the technology team for their Herculean efforts in supporting our online learning. No one ever gives any credit to the technology guys, and I wanted to take a minute to recognize them and Mr. Place. The amount of, thank you, Dr. Cajun, the amount of support that they give the teachers and suggestions and, for different strategies to use and how to use technology has been wonderful, so I wanted to publicly thank them. And I also, from an emotional need standpoint for our kids and the staff, I wanted to thank Mrs. Kenny and Mrs. Pollock and the guidance teams and child study teams for their emotional support of our students, especially during a difficult situation. Believe it or not, there's a couple of tidbits I'd just like to review real fast, because we do plan for next year, and I just want to let you know we are on target for that, and we're working on the master schedule and trying to schedule this, the building efficiently, but also providing students with the access to all the programs they need to be most successful. And just to further a little tidbit, the addition of AP Physics was talked about a lot at past meetings, and I'm happy to say, and I can report out more about some of the details, but it's been warmly accepted that we're going to have AP Physics here next year, and we anticipate running at least two sections of students who will be participating. So I'm really proud of the kids for heeding the advice of their new principal as they become more competitive on their college applications and are challenging themselves in rigorous classes. And in addition, we were talking about our non-college bound seniors after they graduate and promoting them to careers in the trade. We planned on having an on-campus seminar sponsored by the Monmouth County Vocational and Apprenticeship Group, but unfortunately we had to cancel that once we went into quarantine. But we're doing things virtually and sending them and distributing information and leading them to where they will join local unions and be a part of that program. So that's ongoing as well. We haven't forgotten about those kids. And as Dr. Cajun mentioned, especially at the high school, the end of year typically focuses on our seniors and acknowledging their accomplishments and our celebrations. So we do have our annual National Honor Society induction ceremony scheduled for a virtual broadcast. We're putting together a nice program for them. And I'm happy to inform the board that 73 juniors and seniors will be inducted into our National Honor Society, reaching that standard. So congratulations to those students and families and their teachers who got them there. It was just an incredible job by them. And I want to thank Mrs. Nitter and Mrs. Sawicki, who were new advisors to that program, and they did a great job in their first year. We will also have virtually our annual Senior Awards Night, and that's going to be broadcast on Tuesday, June 2nd, 6:30 p.m. We're putting together a great program for that. And I wanted to publicly thank in advance our community benefactors who contribute all of the scholarship money to our deserving seniors. So thank you. We want to keep them donating their checks to the kids in advance of the expenses of colleges, and it's just great that they're doing that. So again, focusing on the seniors, we've been very active on social media promoting our senior students. We focused on a senior spotlight, which identified and promoted all of their college and university choices, and some sent in that they're going into the armed forces, and we continually update that daily. And we've been recognizing out of our athletic office our senior athletes who didn't get to participate this spring. And also, because we weren't able to have our Division III recognizing our athletes who will participate next year on a Division III level, they don't have an official signing date. So we've been broadcasting on social media, recognizing those students as well. And I just got in right before the board meeting. Thank you for your generosity for purchasing the lawn signs for the class of 2020. I delivered five of them tonight, and I couldn't believe how the senior students were so happy to see their high school principal. You know, I don't usually get that when you're a high school principal, but the kids loved it when I came up to their lawn and delivered a number of those signs. And the administrative team and a parent group are helping us deliver over 250 signs to our students. And, you know, it's just been a very well-received. There's one that I delivered in Spring Lake Heights and to Kieran Flanagan. And they're real, real happy with all the things that the board is doing, the administration and teachers, to, in the difficult circumstances, celebrate these students and their accomplishments. Dr. Kasia talked about closing out the year. So we're working very hard through our operations committee in scheduling dates, as Ms. Graziano's doing across the street, for the high school staff to come in and close out their classrooms and secure personal items in the building. And we are scheduling those by department, trying to be as efficient as we can, and then also sanitizing after they leave. So that is beginning on Thursday, and we'll run through next week. We're also with the custodians beginning to clean and sanitize student lockers, collecting and bagging personal items, inventorying non-essential school supplies and resources. And then we're going to schedule for our underclass students a walk-up once school ends for them to not only retrieve their personal items, but return all of the property of the board as we prepare for next year. And that includes their district technology laptop. So we'll be working with Mr. Place and his office in trying to plan that. We're also coordinating the distribution of end-of-year senior materials, such as their yearbooks, caps and gowns, NHS cords for graduation. And we anticipate scheduling, maintaining social distance, having a scheduled walk-up time for each student to get those necessary items for graduation. And we've been trying, because I know there's a lot out there, we have really been trying to provide the most authentic online learning experience for our students. And we know that nothing replaces being in the classroom with their teacher, but our entire staff has worked very hard to prepare our students for the next steps. And when they leave us, and then the next experience in their classroom here at Manasquan High School. And typically at the end of the year, the teacher will tie what the students learned in a bow on the experience with a summative assessment or a final exam. And we have a weighted percentage how that impacts the child's grade. This year, with the adoption of the midterm exam, both the midterm and our final contribute to 10% to a student's grade in a course. And under the circumstances, we received a lot, and I know Dr. Cajun got a lot of feedback as well, concerns from students, parents, and the teachers themselves about the appropriateness of having a final. And, you know, a couple of weeks back, we meant to modify the exam to alleviate the stress and anxiety, but with the final closure of the school being online for the rest of the year, and speaking to our operations committee and our wellness committee and informally to the teachers. We see it as a opportunity and a window to reevaluate the appropriateness of final exams this year. So we came to the conclusion, and I'm being the spokesperson, that we're recommending a move away from the final exam and that weighted 10% for our final exam. And we propose that we feel that a final assessment is important to tie the course in a bow. And we propose that the teachers end the course with a final assessment within the fourth marking period grades and to be counted no more weighted than a final test grade. So in lieu of a final exam, kids would give one of the exams that we were proposing as a final exam modified as of just a final test grade within those courses. A lot of our elective do project-based assessments, they would continue to do that. But in the core academic areas, we feel that, you know, moving away from the final exam would alleviate a lot of unnecessary anxiety and stress under the circumstances to the whole community, but especially the students. And as the building principal, you know, I've gotten a number of correspondences from students, parents, and staff that, you know, this is a big issue in our school community. So trying to be responsible, looking out for the overall wellness of the student, I think that's a proposal that we should strongly consider. And then Dr. Cajun spoke a little bit, again, about graduation. And there's some statutory requirements that has to happen to certify the class by the building principal to the Board of Ed and the superintendent that we should do on June 12th in a virtual ceremony. And we would develop a small program to do that. And that would be able for us to facilitate the final transcripts of our students here, many of them leaving in early August for some of the colleges and universities they're going. And I would hate to delay all of that in hopes of an on-campus ceremony. And then, you know, colleges are asking us, where are the kids' transcripts? So on June 12th, I think it's necessary for us, provided that Governor Murphy lifts the restrictions that we can have an on-campus ceremony, that we do that. And I'm proposing tonight, and in agreement with Dr. Cajun, that we should look at June 25th in order to, once the ban or the restrictions get lifted, for us to plan an appropriate traditional ceremony for these kids. And that's the feedback. And I hear it all day long because I'm a parent of a senior in another high school, and I'm getting it from home, and I'm getting it here that, you know, just a virtual ceremony just doesn't cut it for the class of 2020. So I'm at the board's disposal to facilitate an on-campus ceremony in cooperation with Dr. Cajun, a traditional ceremony for them, and of course, we would be abiding by updated protocols. And I think that would be warmly welcomed by our school community. And then finally, again, thank you for the generosity of the board. I think the kids, and we'll try not to spoil all the surprises, but the purchasing of their photo to be displayed out in front is a very classy touch by the board, and I think also will go a long way in making the kids feel about the end of the year experience they had this year. Okay. So that's really all I have for tonight, and I appreciate everyone allowing me to come back to the meeting and discuss what's going on at the high school.
Okay, Gene, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to recap while I have Colleen and Rob here. Can you hear me? I just want to recap what was just said so the board understands exactly where we're going for graduation and on both sides of the street, and what are we doing now for our finals. There are no more final exams for this year. However, there will be a final assessment piece which will be given in the classroom by the instructor, and during our exam days, correct, Rob? We're still going to have our exam schedule.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't touch on that. I feel that in order for the teachers to put closure to their classroom after they get all of the grades in, and to allow them for students to do makeups and close out, that it's necessary for them to have that exam period time to spend with their students and to make sure that everything is in order as we move towards and close out the year, move towards next year. So in informally speaking to two of the departments that I supervise here at the high school, world language and history, and they were very much in favor of that and thought it was a great resource for them to close out the year.
Can we call that time final assessment period, not exam period? I want to take the word exam out of the equation.
It will be labeled appropriately when we communicate it to the teachers and then to the parents and students.
Perfect. And that will just be a marking period grade, will not be worth 10%. Okay, now in regards to the graduation, virtual graduation on the 12th, we will still plan to have the walk-up for the child and the parents to come in front of the school and take pictures. And then according to what happens on June 3rd, and look at the social mitigation that's going on, if things are lifted, then the 25th in the evening, early evening, we will plan the physical graduation. But both Colleen and Rob, I want you to know, there won't be any practices for this. The practices will occur when the students show up an hour before and we talk to them about how we'll be going out on the field. We good?
Good.
Okay. Now, does the board, or Gene, you have any questions about this?
I don't. Anyone on the board?
Nope.
Like I say, Mike.
Gene?
Yep.
It's Tom. I was just thinking today, if things don't work out the way we hope and we don't get to have a physical graduation, that in the fall we have another opportunity for the graduating senior that's leaving in July or August, at Thanksgiving time, everybody or most everybody comes home, and that appears to be a safe time from now to then where things may be back to some form of normalcy.
Yep.
I would think we might be able to put something together where you could maybe lead the parade, the Thanksgiving parade with this year's senior class or this year. And maybe a combination of this year's senior class and this year's eighth grade class, just to give them some recognition. The whole community comes out that night, and the kids are home from school. It might be, it's unprecedented. It's never been done before. It might be something nice to recognize them.
Sure.
And to keep the lines of communication somehow for Mr. Goodell to be able to access those graduating seniors sometime in the fall to just send out a mass email or something to them that says, we'd like to invite you to come out and lead the parade this year, or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to lose them at the end of this year and then not have that contact ability or.
Right. So we have, Mrs. Kenny has all their contact information because we look to get feedback from them when they leave us, where they're at. So we'll be able to do that, provided they don't change their emails and things like that. But, we're certainly open to doing things to recognize the class of 2020. Hopefully on the 25th, we will have a traditional ceremony with maybe some slight adjustments. I think if we're able to do that, the kids will be very satisfied that was the final act as a student here under the circumstances.
I just want everyone to realize we need 2 weeks to plan that, to do it properly, so we'll know for sure if it's going to happen on the 12th, because I need 2 weeks to plan that with all the things that we have to get to do it properly. Does everybody understand that? Now I'll take that as a yes. Okay, good.
So, Dr. Kazian, if I could just ask a quick question. So, understanding we're waiting for the state to give us some direction and see what we can or cannot do, that later date in June, that's as late as you're willing to push back a physical on-site graduation for now?
Well, it's not a question, Joe, and I want you to know, you look great jogging the other day, and good news is I know we're getting back to normal because you, your wife, and your dog were jogging, and you were in front. So I would have felt bad. If your dog was in front, I was going to say, you're slowing down, but you were in front. I like that. That's good. In regards to the high school, it's a little different than the elementary school. We have until July 1 to get school finished. So students, I could stretch my jurisdiction, even though a student would argue with me, I'm sure, that, hey, Doc, we graduated on June 12th because I fulfilled my 180 days. I would argue, I know, but our ceremony is getting pushed back till the end of June. You're still mine till July 1. July 1, the school year is done in the state of New Jersey. If we had any days to make up or any snow days, they have to be done before July 1. So having it, the date for the high school graduation pushed back till the 25th gives me 2 weeks from the 12th for us to plan, and is the weekend before Memorial Day. I would think it would be very difficult for us to have on a Friday a high school celebration on the weekend of Memorial Day. So that's the reason why I picked the 25th. Now, for the elementary school, and also a lot of our students, from looking at where they've been accepted or going to schools, and Rob and I have talked about this, Virginia, South Carolina, they're leaving in July to go there.
Yep.
So I think by us pushing it back as far as we can, in my mind, the 25th was as far as I can push it. Now, at the elementary school, it's a little different. They're still ours. And for the most part, they're going to the high school. So you could argue that you could push that date someplace in July. However, I really think that to be consistent with both sides of the street, I felt the 25th was the applicable date and the most logical one. In this crisis, I'm really trying to let logic lead us. Reason and logic is leading what we do and organization. And I'm pushing that with my administrative team. And you're looking at two true leaders on the screen. We're leading. And through this leadership, we're going to get things done in organization. So for all those reasons, I thought the 25th was the best. But I'll gladly talk about that. For the high school, I don't think we can push it farther than that. You could talk about the elementary school if you wanted to. But
no, thank you. And I know, you know, Ms. Graziano, Mr. Goodall, they've got the kids' best intentions at heart. So we'll hopefully be able to do that.
It's truly
Dr.
my...
Dr. Cajun, if you don't mind, we would consider it, just to be clear, if there was inclement weather on the 25th, we would consider a rain date the next day or the next day after that, correct?
Well, that's another reason it's the 25th. The rain date's the 26th, right, Pete?
Yeah, 26th is
right.
Friday.
Yeah.
Just for the benefit of everyone listening.
Yeah, I don't want to go inside because the reason we're doing this, we utilize outside is what helps us limit the transference of that virus, especially being 6 to 10 feet apart, which we will be. We'll be 10 feet apart. The chairs will be set up on the football field. We'll walk in 10 feet apart. I'll have my administrators there. Everything will be right, and people will be in the stands. We'll have it marked off 10 feet apart, and we'll see how many people we're allowed to have in the stands at that time. I hope for immediate families, but we'll see. I have, you got them all. I have all the different things from Murphy that came out, his administrative edicts, as well as from the state police. So we're going to follow them, and we'll see what happens. But we want to plan for the best. Let's plan to have it. Let's plan to have a physical graduation. We want the best for our kids. So I think this is the best way we could go right now for the information that we have.
Great. Thank Good. You.
You're welcome. Guys, thanks. Gene, I think that's the end of the principal's report.
Yeah, I just want to say, Rob and Colleen, thank you very much for your efforts, your leadership through this. I mean, it's unprecedented. And as Colleen said, there is no manual on what to do. But just thank you for everything you've done for our students, our community. I think having a student in high school, I think it's gone as smooth as possible. And thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank
Okay, so that'll move us on to our public forum, on the agenda items. Glasses back up. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears that the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right to the presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion of, disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to the comments on items included on this agenda only. Pete, do we have any comments?
No comments tonight, Gene.
Okay, so our second public forum is for any agenda items or any other items not on the agenda. Do we have anyone for that, Pete?
None for that either.
Okay. So we'll move on to education, curriculum, technology. And Frank, I'll send that back to you.
Thanks. On the education, curriculum, technology, I think a real focus tonight has to be what myself and my administrative team put together. I really think to be successful in this chaotic time that we have, organization is key, as is patience and perseverance. And through both, we'll be successful. Unfortunately for us, we really have to wait sometimes too long for the guidance we're receiving from the state, so we have to take the initiative to move forward with what we feel is best for our staff and students. So as you can see, you can move to the next slide, Jess. We've created a return to school roadmap that focuses on 6 particular avenues. And the first one is governance. And that particular avenue is chaired by myself with Dr. Crawley and Mr. Place. And we focused on exactly creating committees to launch the different initiatives that we felt had to be articulated for us to be successful. We assigned roles and responsibilities for all of my administrators and some teachers, and also instituted a virtual meeting schedule. Our committees meet weekly and report to the entire group on Friday. This isn't something that we just developed and it's going to stop. This is going to be ongoing because, as I said when we started this evening, we have different focuses. Right now, it seems to be our major focus is our celebrations, continuing the continuity of education, as well as closing schools in regards to getting all the materials that students left here back to them and getting the materials we need handed back in to the school district in a safe fashion. However, over the summer, these committees will still be working because we have to look towards opening up the school building in September with a whole new normal. And what will that look like? Well, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't think anybody does yet until we get the mandates from the state. But one thing I do know, we will keep our students safe, secure, and germ-free, because I don't want them worrying about what's out there, because they will not be able to learn effectively if they do. And another thing that we have to focus on is our teachers have to be trained in how to master virtual education and virtual learning. So we're putting in place workshops for them, and they're all at different levels. So it's not a one size fits all. Some are doing this much better than others, but that's okay. We're going to have certain prerequisites, requirements. We're going to set a bar that we want all our teachers to reach, and we're going to do that this summer. So those are some of the things we're working on. And as you can see, school operations, it's led by Mr. Goodall and Colin Graziano. Wellness, which was a very important part of our discussions, is led by Ms. Kenny. You can go, Jess. And also, Ms. Graziano's on here as well. We also included our teaching staff. Facilities and security with Dr. Crowley and Mr. Clayton, and I'm sure both Jesse and Pete tonight will focus on what their particular committees have been talking about. Instruction, which Rick Coppola is chairing, has had a lot of discussions about what we're doing and how we can do it better. One of the things I've said is that I feel that we are continuing the continuity of education, but I don't believe we're mastering things the way we have in the past. And where are the gaps in our learning? I think that's a question that on every grade level we have to look at, and we have to fill those gaps in this summer. We will have virtual education continuing if we cannot come back to school in August. The last 2 weeks in August, we're going to focus on enrichment for our students. And in September, our high school will focus on exactly where those gaps were through different modules that the teachers will be presenting to find out where exactly the students in their classes are. So we have six different avenues, as you can see, going from governance through technology, and Jesse can move to technology, and it's a focus on where we're going and how we're going to be ready for September. There's a lot to this, and I quickly went over it as I'm looking at the clock with one who's been here for an hour already. Any questions about the roadmap that we have? I believe it's organization and common sense, as I said before, are going to get us through these times, and we will persevere to be successful. Another document that you have in your virtual handouts is a document that you received today that Jesse put up on the portal. One of the things that we needed to hand into the state, they allowed us to close until May, and then they closed us till June. So it was the second part of the closure that they needed us to update our health-related school closure preparedness plan. And you have a copy of that. And I'm very proud of this in regards to focus on the lessons, the communication, the coordination that's happening in district. And I think it was a thorough document put together by my administrative team. When we first got it, there were several questions. And again, we went out and we decided who was going to be charged with answering which questions on this particular document. And Jesse did a great job sending out the information and requiring people to focus on their areas of expertise in developing this product. So you have it, and I'm going to ask you to read through it because it gives us a good encapsulation of what we did during this chaotic time in the schools. Any questions about that at all? You got all the handouts. You got 103, 104, 107, which were executive actions by the governor, as well as the last piece of virtual graduation, which the state was telling us, and they did tell us, we can only have a virtual graduation right now. But as I said, his mandates are lifted June 3rd, and he has to come out with new mandates. So if he comes out and he lessens the restrictions that we have, and we're going to be able to have a physical graduation, we will do that. So I know I went over those things quickly. A lot of stuff that came out this week. But we're on top of it all. I actually sent to you the Maryland recovery plan for education and the Copenhagen plan as well, because I've read quite a few plans. Right now, Germany and many countries are opening up and going back to school. And they've been doing things to keep their student bodies safe and secure. So we're looking at those. Pete, Jesse, and I are talking daily on what we have to do in September to remain germ-free, disinfecting the classroom several times during the day, making sure that we can track small groups, keeping students together in small groups so we can track in case somebody does come up with the virus and we have to find out who they were in contact with. So we are talking about all these things, and we are ordering supplies as we speak to get ready for these things in September. Questions? I just want to let the board know we're on top of it. Just like I tell my class, I hear no questions, it means that we're doing well. Good. Pete, finance?
Yeah, a couple things related to finance and building and grounds. First two items are actually non-closure related, but will have an effect on operations. We're in an effort to you know, improve our efficiency in the school. We're gonna adopt two different softwares that are gonna take over some of our processes. The first one is Pay Schools. This is gonna integrate with Genesis and be a way for parents and members of the community to make payments to the school for things like book fines, field trip costs, tech costs if they need to repair a computer, those types of things. So Jesse and I have been meeting online with the Pay Schools folks, and we hope to get that up live before the end of the month. It won't take over our current process, which allows for checks to be written to the school district. That'll still be an option. It'll just add another option that's a little more convenient, I think, for folks. That'll be available through the school website in the next month. The second thing, and the same... Somebody have a question about that?
No, I think someone just moved.
Oh. All right, the second thing in the same vein, in an effort to become more efficient, we are adopting, and we approved this contract at the last board meeting, a new facilities booking software called Facilitron. This is going to be a wholesale booking of all facilities in the district, internal and external booking, so all our coaches will have booked out all their gyms and fields and things like that, and then made available to the public will be any remaining openings that they can go ahead and book online. We're just hoping that we do a lot of paperwork on both those items. We're hoping that cuts down on that paperwork and gives folks in the community a little easier way to interact with our facilities and our finance office. Any questions about either of those two things?
Will there be a link to the software, the scheduling software online, so people can see who's supposed to be there and who's not?
It'll be public facing. It won't include... times will be blocked out. You're not going to be able to go see where the baseball team is on any given day, but you'll see that you cannot book the field on April 15th because it's in use. So basically, we'll request our coaches to go in first, book out their facilities as they know they need to be booked out, whether it be practice or games. Then a switch will be turned on to the public where they can go in kind of second order of business and see when facilities are available and book those. But yeah, it'll be public facing. There'll be a link right on the website. Okay. Going back into some closure-related things, item number 27 on tonight's agenda is the approval of a contract with Outfront Media to put up a billboard, the one right on Route 71 by Stockton Lake. Jesse, if you could throw up the picture, we got approved today from Outfront Media as to what that billboard's going to look like, congratulating our 8th graders and seniors. We thought it'd be a nice way to, you know, from a safe distance, but make a reasonably large display of appreciation for what they've accomplished. So that's approved. We're still talking, you know, working out some kinks in terms of design, but that'll be going up in the next couple weeks or so on Route 71 right there in a pretty highly visible place in town. Okay. And then finally, thanks, Jess. And then finally, just circling back to what Frank was talking about with regards to the facilities committee, and so you guys know what we're up to. In the short term, what we're doing is just trying to facilitate and help the school operations committee in their efforts to close down schools. As they schedule teachers to come in and clean out classrooms, and as we start to schedule kids to come in and pick up their personal affects, the facilities department's been working hard to make sure teachers are entering disinfected rooms, and when they leave, those rooms are re-disinfected since they've been occupied. We're bagging up all the kids' contents in their lockers and disinfecting their lockers. Those will be made available eventually to the students to come and pick up. So that's our short-term effort, is to make sure that's done in as safe a way possible. Long-term, we're starting to talk about opening up in September and what that's going to look like. We're going over disinfection protocol. We're training all the staff on CDC and OSHA best practices for disinfection. We've started to buy disinfecting supplies that we know to be effective against the coronavirus and other viruses. And we want to have enough on hand that you know, we don't get caught up in supply chain issues in the summer when everyone's scrambling to get those things. We also purchased improved air filters that are hospital grade, but not to the extent that you would see in the ICU, because that would restrict some of our airflow. But they restrict more airflow than we currently are restricting. So we hope to filter out some you know, contaminants with that improved air filter system. Again, that's really what we're up to. Our focus is on disinfection and best practices regarding disinfection, training our staff so that they're safe in both cleaning as well as making sure the place is clean for the other staff who's coming in. That's where I am.
About finance, though, one of the things, we did present the budget last time.
Mm-hmm.
We went up, our percentage was about 4%.
Over 4%.
Over 4%.
Yep.
However, the 4% basically was because of the debt service that was kicking in and the referendum costs. So we did not have any waivers this year. Our budget went up 2%. The overage was caused by the debt service and the payments for the referendum, go ahead.
Yeah, just as you guys know, by statute, we're limited to increasing the local tax levy by 2%. So 2% was what the tax levy was increased by. We weren't eligible for any waivers, as I mentioned, so which would have allowed us to go over 2%, but we weren't eligible. So with the tax levy increased by 2%, the additional revenues are associated primarily with that repayment of debt for the referendum for the new science win.
Okay, I thought that was important because we didn't make that point perfectly clear last time. And as we close, do you have anything for buildings and grounds?
I think I addressed those in the facilities.
Okay.
We have our, as I mentioned, everything that's going on. Are there any questions about what's going on in schools currently or what we plan for the future with regards to keeping them safe for our kids and staff?
The schools look nice, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, and I know Colleen and Rob mentioned it, but I think another group of people who really need to who deserve and to be commended are the custodians who have been working hard. You know, making sure everything's clean and safe for everyone who is entering. Even though there's limited people entering, there's still is operations going on, and those guys are on the front line to help keep everyone safe.
The quote we got to paint the gym was $25,000. Our custodians, we bought the paint, painted the gym, and it looks wonderful. They did an awesome job painting the gym. All we had to do is get a lift and the paint, and they painted it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're moving to paint the cafeteria. So they've taken ownership in the building, and I can't thank them enough. In fact, we should buy them lunch on Friday, which we will.
It's a plan.
Before we close, remote learning can never replace the students' experience in the classroom with the teachers and their peers. However, as we move forward, our teachers are going to be trained to do the best they can and get to a level of mastery for the virtual learning concept. This has showed me a valuable lesson. We have to be ready for what moves forward. But I truly believe the practical experience of every day coming to school, meeting with their teachers, their peers, and their coaches is irreplaceable. And we missed that. So if there are any questions, that ends the committee of the whole. Should we just go right into the superintendent's report, Gene?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to read the resolution that was mailed home to all the teachers this week?
Sure. Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education values the excellence of education our students receive from the professional teaching staff on a daily basis, and whereas the health, safety, and education of our students is the utmost importance, and whereas the district is currently experiencing an unprecedented time in education with challenges presented to the district with the COVID-19 pandemic, which could be particularly damaging to our most valuable resources, our children. And whereas it's the goal of this resolution to recognize and thank the professionals certificated teaching staff during the Teacher Appreciation Week for their fortitude and due diligence during the COVID-19 pandemic, given the challenges presented to them with social distancing and virtual education, made this academic year like no other. And whereas the professional and due diligence of our teaching staff is recognized, appreciated, and respected for keeping the light of learning shining bright during this unprecedented time and ensuring that the community of the continuity of education was not interrupted for our students. And whereas Teacher Appreciation Week began May 4th and concludes on May 8th, offering the Manasquan Board of Education a formal opportunity to take a moment and express our gratitude to our teachers for their fortitude and continued student focus during this pandemic. And whereas the Manasquan School District recognizes that during this crisis, the teachers were our heroes, coming to the forefront to meet many of our students' basic human needs, which is threatened, including the need for normalcy, meaning, purpose, and continuity of education, and the sense of belonging with others. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Massillon Board of Education does hereby recognize May 4th to May 8th, 2020 as Teacher Appreciation Week, and thank those who place the education of our students before themselves.
Thank you. And that resolution approved tonight has been mailed out, signed by the board president to all the teachers for what they have done during Teacher Appreciation Week. Enrollment, total enrollment, 1,487, high school, 953, elementary school, 534, no fire drills to report, no harassment, intimidation, and bullyings to report. Cantaing the page to report. Now, the report of the assistant superintendent. Mr. Place, what do you have?
So just to expand a little bit on what Dr. Cajun talked about in the reopening roadmap, as well as what Mr. Goodall and Ms. Graziano talked about with the closing of school, the technology side of things is mostly concerned with the device collection at the end of the year, which, you know, under normal circumstances is a big undertaking, and this year, obviously, there's new challenges. So the details of this are going to be, you know, coming out in the next week or two, but the basic framework that we're working from is to allow students and or their parents to basically schedule online, you know, some windows of time, you know, over a several day period where we can collect devices in a, you know, organized and non-crowded way. The idea behind that would be that, you know, a parent or student can sign up for assignment online. They can drive up to the location that we designated the school. They can bring their device back to us, you know, at a social distance. And also, obviously, coordinating with the buildings for that to be another time when they could either return books that they might have, other school material, and also get that material that would have been bagged up from their lockers. So that's at this point our main plans for that. We think it's important to get all the devices back. You know, some districts, I've heard, you know, in some places are doing different things. Some are keeping devices over the summer. Some are asking them to return them like we are. You know, we feel it's important to be able to get those devices back, to update our inventory, to be able to do the normal summer maintenance that we do, to make sure that we're in a good position to start next year. And then obviously as we get closer to the summer and then for next year, then, you know, our focus will be on how do we distribute those devices. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts for how that's going to go based on what the restrictions are at that time. But that's what our focus has been in terms of the committee and the technology for closing the school year out and then reopening for next year.
And one of the things we are looking at is to expand our one-to-ones to fifth grade. I don't know, Pete, you want to focus on that, and Jesse?
Yeah, we started talking about it relatively recently, as you may know or may have heard in the news. The Federal CARES Act did allow for some money to go towards schools to do things and to purchase things to help support the kind of unique circumstances we're in. One of those obvious needs is to improve access to technology. So we're accepting a grant. It opened today, actually, in the amount of a little over $64,000 that we have started to think about using to purchase computers and build out our one-to-one capacity down to the fifth grade.
So, Pete, when would we expect to get that money?
It works like many federal grants that flow through the state. It'll be accessible as soon as our application is accepted. We spend our cash, then we submit reimbursements to the state, and they pay us back, basically. But the applications are being accepted until June 19th. Once the application is accepted, it's eligible to be spent. And then it's just however long the state takes, we'll enter our reimbursement into the state as a software that accepts the reimbursement requests.
So it's possible we could do that for next year.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, Gene, are we okay with that fifth grade one-to-one on the board? We only could spend that dollar once, so if we're going to spend it on fifth grade technology, I'm good. Jesse, Pete, and I have talked about this. but we need to know what the board thinks about that.
I'm good if we even went to lower grades, if we ever found the money.
Okay, well, we will look to finding some more money going lower, and we'll report back to the board in June about that. But right now, we'll definitely do the 5th. Okay? Good. And that ends, if we're good, you good?
I'm good.
Yes? That ends the superintendent's report, as there's no director of curriculum and instruction or school counseling services report for this evening, because I didn't ask them to come. Okay.
Okay. Recommend the approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report. Do we have a motion?
Yes, Fred.
The second?
Bruce. Second.
Fred and Bruce?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Hovner?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Brings us to the manifold on general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 15 through 22? Does anyone have any questions on items 15 through 22? We have a motion for items 15 through 22.
Yes, Fred.
Second, Alexis.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovner?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Brings us to the Manasquan on sending districts general items. Does anyone need anything separated out? Items 23 through 37. Any questions on items 23 through 37? Do we have a motion for items 23 through 37?
You're yes, Terry.
Is that Terry?
Yes.
Second? Fury? Mr. Fury?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Hovner?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old business? Any new business? Bring us to executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date, Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subject matters will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following matters: litigation, contract matters, potential litigation, and personnel matters. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Yes, Fred.
Second, Tom.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 May I interrupt again? I know it's me again.
Oh, stop.
Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter.
Yes.
Mr. Angolia.
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart.
Yes.
Mr. Loretto.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie? Thank you.
Do we have a motion for Nassau-Scott Sitting District's personnel item number 40?
Yes, Joe.
Second.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. Lenhart?
Yes.
Mr. Loretto?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie.
So before we adjourn, just real quick, anything you hear from the public or any ideas you have about how we're moving forward, please share them, Dr. Cajun or myself. You know, nothing's off the table. You know, we're setting goals and moving forward, you know, as information comes out, you know, the best way we can. So any ideas, and especially anything you hear from the public, please do share that. I know most of you won't.
Before we...
So, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Before we close, though, Gene?
Yep.
I just want the board to know, I waited till tonight to get information out to the public about our closing, our graduation, and what our plans are for the end of the year. So from what we talked about tonight, I will be putting an email together. Pete, Jesse, and I will sit down tomorrow, and we'll communicate to the community about what we talked about tonight. Everybody understand that?
Well, what do you feel like does not fast food?
Okay. I just want to let everybody know. And again, it's flexible, and we're open, and we want to do as much as we can for our children. I got that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion,
yes.
Thomas.
Second.
Second.
All
in favor?
Aye.
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 Be safe.
Be safe, everyone.
Yeah.
Good night.
Thank you.